Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Liz McMenamin, the Vice President of Government Affairs for the Retail Association of Nevada. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Chris Wicker, Jesse Waddams, and Howard Rosenberg. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary Bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Liz McMenamin. She is the Vice President of Government Affairs for the Retail Association of Nevada, one of our proud sponsors. Pleasure to have you in here.
Good morning, Sam.
And as the snow continues in northern Nevada, we really thank you for the drive-in.
No, no problem.
Let's talk about things from the state of the state. One of the things was $173 million in general funds for the Medicare caseload and changes to the state federal funding formula. The caseload is projected to grow from about 630,000 people now to 676,000 by the end of the next budget. What do you think about that amount of money?
Well, I think it was expected. And when we did the expansion here in the state of Nevada, we knew that the numbers were going to increase so exponentially that there would be a point in time that we were going to have to look at funding for Medicaid. So I think that the governor is I guess he's trying to fill that gap. And we'll just have to see as the budget as we go along in the biennium to see if this is going to even be enough. We have so many people in Nevada that is being insured through this program or being taken care of medically that I'm not sure that that's even going to be enough for the programs that they're wanting to implement.
What kind of percentage increase beyond this number do you see potentially? Because this is going to affect everything else at session, right?
Well, it is. It is. And if I had a crystal ball, I could tell you how many people were going to come forward. But in Nevada, it seems like we have a large percentage of our population that have a real need for Medicaid. The numbers are increasing every time we turn around. So it's really going to be hard to say what the governor is going to have to do to bring it up to speed. But there are programs that we're looking at implementing that we're talking about nationally right now, such as giving a pharmacist the ability to come in as a medical provider in our state and alleviate some of the problems and some of the high expenses that we've been seeing. So there are going to be some cost savings, too, that come along. So I think that as we go along, that number is just something that we're going to have to look at as a target.
Let me ask you this. You know, of course, all the discussion is about Obamacare, repeal and replace. How do you see this coming down?
Oh, God. Again, I left my crystal ball at home. I should have brought it with me. It's going to be interesting as we watch this new administration come in and see what they want to do to replace it. There have been a lot of people now that are insured through this program that before didn't have an opportunity to have health insurance of any kind. Now, that being said, I know of personal instances where people have talked to me about how expensive it actually is for them to have this insurance. People who had pre-existing conditions. So I hope that this new administration and the people that will be in the position to make changes to this look at this and consider this as they go forward. I don't know what they're going to do to replace it, but at this point in time, you know, again, the crystal ball is the only thing that's going to be able to tell us what's going on. Talk to some of our legislators, and they're adamant that they don't want to see the federal government do anything with the ACA. I don't think that they're going to get their wish at this point in time. I think that the Republicans in the Congress and our president, now our incoming president, once he's in place, then they'll have the big, heavy discussions about what they're going to do to take care of it.
Do you think it's possible to do as the president-elect has said, which is repeal and replace, you know, on day one? I mean, you know, it sounds to me like this is more like something that's going to take a year to 2 years to accomplish. Everybody's already signed up for 2017, so that's already in place. It would be so disruptive.
Well, to take a quote from someone else, well, let's just pass it and see what's in it after we pass it, okay? No, I don't know. It was rammed and jammed through there originally, and then the work was done through the states and through the nation to work with what they had with the legislation previously that President Obama passed. So I don't know. It would be interesting to see if it is rammed and jammed through, but I don't think so. I think there's going to be a lot of deliberation and a lot of discussion on what we need to do within the United States on this. I don't think it's going to be day one.
Let's talk about marijuana. The only tax mm-hmm. that the governor came up with was a 10% tax on recreational marijuana. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I have personal thoughts, and I have we at the Retail Association in Nevada, of course, we never supported this. We couldn't support it because it's still against the law federally. I have had people say to me, well, the states that have passed this in the past are really acting as a money launderer for the marijuana industry with these taxes that they're implementing. However, I think the governor was thoughtful with a 10%. If it's a recreational drug, much like, let's say, our gaming industry has a special tax for gaming and mining has their special tax, I don't know. I think 10% is a lot.
And that's in addition to the 15% that's already
right,
there.
Right, exactly, plus others. So the regulatory process, we'll see. I already hear the association that represents this industry coming forward. And while they're not opposing the governor taxing, they're thinking, you know, that maybe this is really a high number to hit. I don't know. I think at this point in time, we'll just, again, watch and see the battle go on at the legislature, because Senator Siegerbloom and others that are supporting this will probably not be real interested in seeing a 10% tax put on the product.
And Senator Tiggerbloom just looks at the – I'm Tiggerbloom.
See, I know. Tick, sorry.
Siegerbloom, just sees blue skies with this. He doesn't see any of the concerns, for example, of the gaming industry, which has great concerns because this is still federally against the law.
As well they should. Many people that are regulated by the federal government really has to look at this carefully within our state. So, yeah, as well the gaming industry should be concerned. And he does see blue skies. He sees what we're seeing out of other states. The individuals involved in this industry are becoming the new millionaires in our country. They're now out legally out front and able to make money on a product that they've probably been working with. And I don't know this, so just saying up front. But, you know, this is an industry that they've probably been working in for a long time, and now they can legally make money up front and are doing so.
Boy, that's a pretty bold statement there. I mean, you know, we certainly did see both in England and the United States that when gambling went from being illegal to legal— the people that ran it were the people that had been running it illegally.
Well, just saying.
Because they were the ones that knew how to run it.
Absolutely. And they know the product. So that would stand to reason they'd be the ones out front.
But you're not pointing any fingers.
Absolutely not.
Okay. You're not suggesting Joe Crowley was.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. Sorry, Mr. Crowley.
We'll be right back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Liz McMenamin. She's the Vice President of Government Affairs for the Retail Association of Nevada. I would say, I'm guessing here, but I would say that on the list of drugs that you're concerned about, marijuana is pretty low down.
Absolutely. It's probably at the very bottom of the chart at this point in time. We have seen in this country, as you know, the opiate problem that we're having. It's a crisis, actually. And the governor did mention that he is going to be working, too, going forward this next session on strengthening some of our legislation regulations in the state of Nevada. I venture to say that this is a subject that many of the legislators will be talking about. I've had conversations with some. I look forward to working with them because I think that marijuana, while it's one thing, opiates are another thing, and it's taking lives. And it's taking more lives than actual auto accidents in the United States. And that we've got so up in arms, and I don't know, where's mad? You know, we're the mothers that came out against drunk driving and the fatalities that we were seeing on the highways. I would like to see people as up in arms about this issue as say, a traffic fatality and trying to do something to make sure that while there are patients out there who need this medication and we advocate for patient care, we also see the actual abuse that's being glamorized in our younger people. And it's not glamorous because the end result is oftentimes you're dead. So, I worry a lot about that issue. We've also seen naloxone now being available, and I'm going to pull a plug for some of retail's members. The CVS and the Walgreens in the state of Nevada is now making naloxone available for those who wish to purchase it. It is available through other entities.
Okay, so you better explain what it is.
And naloxone is an antagonist or a drug that will help those who are in the throes of an overdose of an opiate to recover. It brings them back in time enough for you to call and get emergency help for them and get them to the hospital, and has saved lives. So Retail Association worked with many of the entities in the state of Nevada to make sure that this was available in many different avenues. Joined Together Northern Nevada is one of the avenues you can contact to find out where you can go to get this at a cheaper price. Now, while CVS and Walgreens has it available, it is for sale. But if there is a need and you don't have the financial ability, there are other ways to get this, to have this in your home. If you have a child or a spouse or someone within the family who you know has a substance abuse problem or a heroin addiction, then you need to be talking to somebody to get this drug available to be able to combat overdose.
Are there any bill draft requests that are in place already concerning opiates that you're aware of?
I know that the governor's office is working on their language. It is and will be available pretty soon. I'm not at liberty at this point in time to talk about exactly the direction they're going, but I have had the conversations with them, and I know that they're doing something. I know that Senator Farley is working on the end of youth prevention. So at this time, I have not seen her language and look forward to working with her and seeing what her plans are and doing on it.
And that's where we have to leave it. Liz McMenamin, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Sarah.
And we'll be right back.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPundit panel. As always, Howard Rosenberg joins us, Jesse Wadhams of Council with Fenimore Craig, and Chris Wicker, spokesman for the Washoe Dems. So, Jesse, the community colleges, particularly Western Nevada College, took 40% cuts over the last few budget cycles. It appears to just about everybody that there's not nearly enough money being put towards the community colleges.
I tend to agree with that. I think, you know, our community colleges have taken a number of hits over the course of the entire recession. And as we've pulled money out of them, I think you've seen negative effects across the board, not just with Western Nevada, but Great Basin out in Elko and certainly the Southern Nevada community colleges as well. I think it is an area we need to rethink radically.
And also they have lots of, I don't know what you call them, sub-colleges or whatever, out in other rural areas of Nevada, and those have been hit terribly.
Yeah, I mean, I think the example of Great Basin, but also Western Nevada, which has the branches as it kind of go down the I-80 corridor. We need to rethink what we're doing with the community colleges, and maybe they don't need to be a part of NSHE. I don't know. I mean, these are the debates that we got to start having because we're clearly not taking care of the community college.
And that's been a big discussion on this program is, do you take the Board of Regents responsibility for the community colleges away and have a separate leadership there? What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
I think what we see in this budget and what's happened to the community colleges tell us that, yes, that's something that has to be done in order to improve and ensure the survival of the mission of the community colleges, because it's not getting done under the NSHE and the Board of Regents. So I think there will be a bill to separate those two, and maybe that will give the community colleges the ability to argue for the budgets that they should have.
Howard, you have the ability to talk about both because you sat on the Board of Regents for 12 years and then on the Washoe County School Board. Your thoughts on this?
Relatively simple. What we have now is community colleges being the place where everything that didn't get done for certain students in the public schools is getting done. I'm getting students that really have problems, bad problems. But it's not so much the money, but the way the money is spent that makes it all the difference in the world. English 101 and English 102 have always been, and my colleagues will have to forgive me, bonehead English. That's where you find out where they are, and you bring them up to where they need to be. That's how you operate it, so that we don't have high school bleeding into the upper divisions. Now, the reason we have community colleges is because of the Board of Regents. We recognized a need, and that need was driven by what's not happening in the public schools. Construction workers, they're desperately needed, but they need to have some education. We don't have enough of woodworking classes, automotive classes. I can rewire a lamp. I learned how in the eighth grade.
Okay, but Howard, do you see something happening in this legislative session that would separate the community colleges away from the university?
I would hope not, because it would be a definite mistake, because then you set two more people at each other's throats for money.
Let's talk about the amount of money going to the Medicaid growth here. $173 million in general funds for that. That's a huge chunk of the budget. And Liz McMenamin was on the program earlier, and she was saying that that may not even be enough.
You know, that's probably true. I mean, we have seen caseload growth in Medicaid that I think was unimaginable. I think, you know, the folks had kind of thought when we did the expansion, they would see a clearly growth, but not to the course of, I think they're somewhere in the neighborhood of 650,000 lives now, which is radical growth that we've seen.
That's about 20% of the population.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, so we are covering a lot more lives in the state program than we ever have. And then with the scale back of the federal component, obviously we're going to have to come up with a lot of money. And then you layer in the national Republicans are talking about repeal by April. Well, that's not going to give us time to deal with that in the legislative session should it come up, which is another massive possible hit to the social safety net.
But do you see that more as PR than actuality? I mean, you know, this whole insurance situation is so complex. The insurance industry had to completely reinvent itself for Obamacare. They're going to have to completely reinvent themselves for whatever new system comes along. That's not going to happen in 4 months.
I totally agree with you. I think the idea of trying to repeal it without a replacement of some kind, I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. The Affordable Care Act should actually be really renamed the Insurance Reform Act, because it didn't really get to care. It got to how we pay for care, which I think at the end of the day, we've got to look at that whole system.
And not only did it do that, but it also gave hospitals, for example, unbelievable power.
Well, it did, but here's the thing: don't underestimate the power of ideology. To for 8 years or 6 years, the Republicans have said they're going to repeal Obamacare, and just recent times, they've said they're going to replace it with something. They don't have a replacement, but the ideology driving the Republicans in Congress now, I would not be shocked to see them repeal it and have a patchwork that is devastating to people who need medical care.
Okay, but
now
I've got to take the other side here and say that doesn't make political sense. I mean, when you're running a campaign, you campaign. When you're governing, it's a different story. And the Republicans know that they have a shot here. If they want to stay in power for the next 8 years, they can't mess this up.
Well, don't underestimate the ideology there.
Okay. Howard, you got 10 seconds.
I agree with Chris 100%. You're talking about intelligent people recognizing the difference. I'm not entirely sure we have enough of them.
And we'll be right back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
On our next broadcast, Paul Enos, the CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association.